Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Real Recognition Radio, a program designed to promote a positive work environment. Your hosts are Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. In this hour, you will be motivated to motivate, increase morale, productivity, loyalty, and reduce turnover. Learn how some companies get it while others don't. Now, here are your hosts, Roy and Max.
Welcome to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, the show that's all about building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating a workplace where people can thrive. I'm Max Brown, along with my colleague and friend, Roy Saunderson, and of course, we're from Rideau's Recognition Management Institute. You can contact us directly for all your recognition needs, reward questions, and anything else you might have in terms of how to effectively create better programs at Rideau.com. And you can find us on our radio show at rideau.com/radio. Roy, another great opportunity today as we talk with someone who's talked a lot about leadership and why leadership is so important.
I know, and I think we're seeing a lot of needs in today's society with the social media presence coming up that we need to kind of look at leadership in a completely different way than we've done in the past.
It's an interesting statement, you know, not just from a social media perspective, and of course, you know, we've had Charlene Lee on the show, we've talked to other people around the social media aspects of this, but here's another aspect as well, and that is how do you lead in a social media world that has changed the way we lead in general, right, and the way we manage?
Absolutely. Are you going to give us some answers to this, Max?
Well, we'll see. Of course, our guest today is Yekaterina Walter. Yekaterina is the author of Think Like Zuck, The 5 Business Secrets of Facebook's Improbably Brilliant CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. Yekaterina is a social media innovator at Intel, a recognized business and marketing thought leader. She's a speaker and a regular contributor to Fast Company, Huffington Post, and other leading-edge print and online publications, and she's been featured at Forbes and Business Review USA, and she's been named among the 25 women who rock social media in 2012. She sits on the board of directors for Word of Mouth Marketing Association. She's an active member of the Thunderbird Global Council at the Thunderbird School of Global Management. Yekaterina, we're glad you're on the show.
Thank you, Max and Roy. Glad to be here.
We are delighted, and perhaps an obvious question, but why this title? What were you hoping to do with this book?
You know, Think Like Zuck to me is a philosophy of a leader who is passionate, who drives and leads with purpose, who builds amazing teams and builds excellent products, and of course, partner smartly, which is, you know, the 5 P's I discuss in my book. You know, and the book, I think, is pretty much for anyone who has a passion for innovation and disruption. You know, those who have an entrepreneurial streak, whether they're an intrapreneur, a person who drives change within a large company, or an entrepreneur, someone who owns his or her own business. So, and just, you know, anyone who wants to learn from this other successful leaders of our time.
Yeah, it's interesting because you bring out some interesting points in the book, which we're going to discuss throughout the show today, including your intrapreneur and entrepreneur philosophy here. And I really like what you talk about and you dissect within the book. Of course, for those, you know, and who hasn't heard of Mark Zuckerberg at this point, he obviously became fabulously wealthy when the company went public. But he had opportunities to sell prior to that. And one of the points you bring out in the book is you kind of reflect on his start to creating Facebook is that he walked away from a $1 billion opportunity. Why didn't he take that? And frankly, you point out money wasn't his real driver. So what motivates him and how can we learn from his example?
You know, it's interesting, Max, that his response to that was, I just don't know why. I just feel it's right. But I think he knew. You know, I believe he is so focused. And, you know, that's why I also think people think he is sometimes, you know, arrogant or, you know, ignores you, is because he is extra focused and he's extra certain about what his purpose is. And one of his passions, which also fuels his purpose, is, you know, to connect people around the world and make the world more open and transparent, sometimes radically so. And so that purpose is behind everything he wants to do. And I believe he walked away from a number of offers, including a $1 billion Yahoo offer, because he wasn't confident that if somebody takes the reins, that they will take it to where the product, to where the business should go. I mean, you know, he carries around a little book of change. He calls with him where he writes down ideas. And the idea of Facebook becoming a platform was jotted down there years before it actually became a reality. So I believe he just doesn't feel comfortable that somebody else, you know, as a leader would really stick to that purpose and really build what is supposed to be built.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you alluded to this just a moment ago as well, but that you discuss five key principles in the book based on this relationship and the way he chose to lead. And then, of course, you bring in other companies as well. And you identified five P's that you find are the critical pieces to success. Could you share those with us?
Absolutely. They are passion, purpose, people, product, and partnerships. And passion, you know, everybody kind of, in a little bit of a cynical world right now, says, well, you know, it's another fluffy word. The reality is, you know, what I've seen, you know, the change that I've seen being driven within the large brands, and I'm also an advisor for a number of startups who are pretty successful companies, you know, I've seen this driven, you know, time and again. It is because the success is due to that passion. When people get up every single day and say, I cannot not do it. So the passion then coupled with action equals a creation of a purpose, a creation of a product or service, right? So you take that passion, you fuel your purpose, but you're very clear, you know, all the successful leaders are very clear about what is their purpose. You know, Disney has had a purpose for years that hasn't changed of bringing happiness to kids. Same with Starbucks, same with Ford, same with a lot of other brands that you know, have been successful over the years. So if you see that they are adaptable, right? They adapt their environment, but the purpose, core purpose, always stays the same, and they stay true to that. And from there, you go, you know, you build a product or a service that you think should serve people around that particular purpose. And you can't do that alone. Success is a team sport, so you have to bring people and partners on board who will share your purpose, but bring different perspectives, different experience, and help you grow that company to where you want to take it.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting for me that you mentioned that, you know, Zuckerberg brought in many people who were brilliant, and that he might have created the base code. It was after that he kind of got out of the way of people who were building brilliant code and quite brilliant at continuing to code. Not that he isn't brilliant, but that he wasn't afraid of really smart people being all around him.
No, absolutely. And not only that, you know, Zuckerberg, Jobs, and others actually are good at bringing a variety of folks to the table. Of course, you know, the engineering, you have to, you know, have specific experience, but they also bring, you know, teachers and historians and other folks who contribute that perspective. I mean, they are very open. A quote that Zuckerberg kind of likes to use is, We want people who are passionate. They could be passionate about anything as long as they, you know, understand what we're trying to do with Facebook and share that purpose and understand it well. They could be passionate about anything because at the end of the day, if you do have that passion and motivation, you learn anything. I mean, one of the co-founders, right, Dustin, he didn't know how to code, but he wanted in. He believed in what Zuckerberg tried to create, so he spent, you know, hours and hours and months learning coding so that he could be a part of that movement. And, you know, Jake Nickel of Threadless, he told me, he said, when I started Threadless, I had no idea about anything that has to do with fulfillment and warehousing and, you know, and business. He's like, I was an artist. I just wanted to create a community of artists, and I wanted to bring them together. So at the end of the day, you know, when you hire people, hire for passion, because skills can be taught, but passion can't. So
yeah,
attitude matters.
Interesting. And in that line, you know, you talk about the hacker way in the book, and that there's five core values at Facebook that kind of relate to the hacker way, if you will, you know, like focusing on their impact and to move fast, right? They're just moving all the time, aren't they?
They are. They call, you know, in Silicon Valley, they call that state a state of permanent beta, right? So you're sort of continuing to be a startup no matter how big you grow, and you have that environment of agility, that culture of urgency, right? The sense of we only are 1% finished, right? The journey is only 1% finished is one of the, you know, slogans that Facebook likes to use, you know, but they're also moving. You know, that's why I think Zuckerberg was successful, is he actually took action. People talked about something like Facebook for a number of years and said, you know what, darn it, I'm just going to go in and I'm going to create it and I'm going to code it. And I think that sort of, yes, you want to innovate continuously, but you also want to take action. You know, prototyping trumps discussions, right? Code trumps arguments. So that sort of environment where done is better than perfect, but we, no matter how done we think we aren't really. And, you know, he keeps his offices half finished, sort of warehousey sort of a look, because he doesn't want people to think that we have arrived and it's time to rest on our laurels.
Very interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Very interesting. Another part in the book that was interesting for me, and on the face of this, I actually just thought, you know, well, let's talk about this. You write, successful leaders are purpose-driven, but they also have the courage to stand on their vision and execute on their convictions, no matter the external pressure. Easier said than done, wouldn't you agree? Because I mean, even Dell Computer or Zappos at one point, they moved to other people in order to get rid of the external pressure from shareholders that was reducing, or what they felt was controlling them, right?
Absolutely.
So Dell trying to go private, you know, Amazon bought out on Zappos, and Amazon, of course, Jeff has always taken a lot of pressure for the way he treats people and the way he runs his business, yet he's extremely profitable, extremely successful. So it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, this is easier said than done.
It is, you know, and I think Zuckerberg is really a unique case in the sense of he, from the start, learned from some of his peers, like you know, Parker, who, you know, who told him, you got to have control, right? You have, if you want to go somewhere and achieve something, you need to make sure you maintain that control. And even after post-IPO, Zuckerberg is still the major shareholder, and he does have that control. And the reason why he was successful is because of that. Because he says, now I can go, I shouldn't go worry about what everybody else says short term, or, you know, how freaked out they are by every single decision we make. I can actually focus on long term and creating value. And I think one of the key ingredients of a leader, and Zuckerberg is a perfect example, is that long-term vision. You know, you're right. Jeff Bezos of Amazon gets, you know, people give him hard time all the time, but Amazon just actually hit all-time high, you know, stock price-wise.
Yeah.
And, you know, back when he introduced the reviews on the site, everybody said, do you really even know your own business model? What the heck are you doing?
Right.
And he says that every decision I make is long-term. long-term strategic decisions, just like Zuckerberg. But a lot of times those decisions are not understood because we want short-term revenue, right? And Wall Street Journal sometimes, and I think we are in Wall Street has actually to blame for that sort of short-term thinking. Punishing entrepreneurs and looking just, well, let us just focus on P&L versus focusing on the vision of a leader. And how many times has he proven himself or herself?
That's a good point, Yekaterina. This is a good conversation. And when we come back, we're going to continue it and get deeper into some of these concepts and philosophies that you've brought out so well in this book. It's a fun read to have. For all our listeners out there, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson with our guest today, of course, Yekaterina Walter. And you're listening to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio on the Voice America Business Channel. Stay tuned because we'll be right back.
Looking for exciting video content live and on demand? Visit www.voiceamerica.tv for exclusive content you just can't find anywhere else. That's voiceamerica.tv. Tune in now.
How do you become one of the best companies to work for? By appreciating people for who they are and recognizing them for what they do. That's real recognition. 82% of employees say that recognition or praise they receive at work motivates them to improve their performance. And companies who recognize their people outperform companies that don't by 30 to 40%. Those are real results. Become one of the best companies to work for. The Recognition Management Institute can help you get the results you need. For more information, visit realrecognition.com. That's realrecognition.com.
We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. I'm Roy Saunderson, along with my colleague and friend Max Brown, and our guest today, Yekaterina Walter, author of Think Like Zuck, The Five Business Secrets of Facebook's Improbably Brilliant CEO, Mark Zuckerberg. And, you know, Yekaterina, you were just talking about the vision of the man, and I'm curious to know what you think about, and maybe you can share with our listeners what the five core values of Facebook are, and how do you think they're driving the rest of the people around that vision that Zuck seems to have?
You know, it's interesting that for the first time ever, the letter accompanying Facebook's IPO last year, you sort of included Zuckerberg's vision to the fullest, because I don't think he ever really talked about it in the past, and, you know, included the values that they have. And, you know, they are very similar to the culture, right? Or I'd say they are the values are supported by the culture he created, and the other way around. They're very very much sort of integrated. You know, things like be bold. There's one thing that, again, long-term strategic visionaries are focused on is taking that risk and cultivating the culture of fearlessness. You know, if you want to go do something, if you want to go accomplish something, go do it. And, you know, if you really want to disagree with the direction we're going, bring it up to the leadership, bring it to the table, but make sure you actually have the code to back it up with, right? So, mm-hmm. so sort of the environment of being bold, moving fast, breaking things, to see if you can do it better and creating innovation is sort of all supported by the values that Zuckerberg describes in that IPO.
And I think that's interesting that he actually finally articulated it, right, for the benefit for posterity, if you will.
Well, you know, Roy. Actually, I also think he had another goal with that, and I believe he understands that a lot of folks misunderstand where he wants to take the company, and that he is truly long-term focused. And I think he wanted to, you know, and he's very much for transparency and authenticity, and he wanted to come out straight off and say, "Yes, we're going public, but listen, this is what this means to us and to you. This is who we are. This is what we stand for, and that is how we're going to approach our future. And if you don't agree with that," I think it was his way of saying, if you don't agree with that, maybe you're not the best investor for us, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So I think he was really trying to put all his thoughts out there and his approach and the way he leads and say, you know, folks, this is what you are to expect, and this is who we are. And if your ideas don't align with ours, maybe that isn't the best investment for you. I honestly believe that he was really honest and transparent about it, and he knew he's going to have to face external pressures. So he went out there and said, this is what you are to expect.
And you speak about this transparency, and that's certainly something that's very apparent in your book. And do you think this is really going to give that competitive edge when you kind of face off, if you will, between Facebook and Apple or some companies like that?
You know, I think our world is moving towards more transparency, and I think it also, whether we are moving towards it or not, this is a belief that Zuckerberg has. He thinks that more open and transparent world will create a healthier world, healthier environment, better governments, organizations that serve people, and that, you know, that belief guides everything he does. And like I said, sometimes in a little bit too of a radical manner, because he's ahead of his time a little bit in that sort of discussions of transparency. And sometimes he thinks, well, what's the big deal? And people go, well, hold on a second, that those are our privacy concerns. You really have to address them, right? And he says, and I think his thought is, you know, if you're putting it out there and you're engaging, you need to be transparent. So I think there's sometimes a little bit of disconnect. And Facebook is getting better about privacy. They just launched the graph search, and they right away came up with a video that says this is what it means for you individually from a privacy perspective.
Right, and I think that's where they're trying to catch on board. Great ideas, slightly ahead of our time in many cases, right?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I mean, obviously you've shared obviously the kinds of vision of others as well within your book, such as Blake McCoskey and Tom Shoes. And you write, you know, when the purpose of your business is aimed at serving others, your employees and your customers will be willing to stand next to you in the execution of that purpose. Now, we all know there's a lot of companies out there that seem to have professed such wonderful vision, purpose, and values, but how do you get that real connection so that people believe in what you're saying and then thrive?
You stay consistent. You lead by example, right? Zuckerberg is transparent in a lot of ways himself. Honestly, he's never been the one to go out there and tell his employees one thing and then not, you know, and then back out. One thing that his employees are pretty consistent about is the feedback of him as a leader, where if he commits to something, he always follows through on his commitments. Right? He's a lot of things he posts on his Facebook page, he's pretty transparent about. You know, annual challenges that he has, like wearing a tie for a year in 2009 to show people, show his company he's serious about it. He made that commitment. He wore a tie to work every single day. And that's a guy who only wears hoodies, mind you, right? So I think that shows character. And I think by leading by example, I think he also inspires and continues to lead his team into the world and platform that he wants to create.
That is something. And I think that whole example and consistency piece is something that we're seeing across lots of great leaders, that's for sure. Now, obviously, when you're dealing with many of our listeners who obviously could be parts of large organizations with the same kind of hierarchy that of old, if you will, they don't necessarily feel they've got a chance to have that voice. They might not even see the leaders to be able to hold them accountable to. What kind of recommendations do you give to people who are struggling with their leaders?
You know, that's a really hard one. That's a really good question. I've seen people who drive change within, you know, large companies and large brands without having really close relationship with their leaders, even sometimes without the budget and without the team, right? I think it comes down to what are you passionate about and what is the change you want to see in the world and are you willing to step up and act on it? And if environment is bad enough where it doesn't allow you to do so, I know it's tough to say, but maybe you move to a different team where people believe the same things, the same values you do, and want to achieve similar things, and maybe you look for other ways to really truly drive that change. You know, a lot of times it isn't that, you know, bad or hard, right? A lot of times you might not have access to leaders and access to huge budgets, but still able to drive the change in the way you think it should be driven. There's definitely a percentage of support that your management has to provide you. So if you don't have that, it's a lot of times it's hard. Not impossible, but hard. You know, I mean, look at Intel. When we started with our social sort of business transformation, becoming a social business 4 years ago, we barely had any budget and had several people. So we worked in a very startup mode, you know, sort of a permanent beta of creating things, painting blank canvas, putting things out there, working real hard on, you know, on educating people and marketers around the globe on what does social means and what does that mean for us, what we want to go do. And then it grew. The team grew. The budget grew because management saw the actual change we're leading and was confident enough to say, we will support you more and more. So, you know, I definitely know it can be done.
That's great. I'm curious, as you can appreciate, we're sort of always interested in stories around employee recognition and appreciation. How do you describe those kinds of acts and behaviors in Facebook, and how does it play into building successful workplaces?
You know, one of the biggest things that Facebook does that's amazing is they match up people with their passions. And what does that mean? That means that they might bring a really good resource in where they know that they want to hire this person. But then they'd say, you know, you need to go figure out what do you really want to go work on. Here's, you know, the projects that are going on. If you want to do a, you know, a hackathon and launch something else and code something where you think we have a gap, go ahead and do so. But the engineers are and people are encouraged to work on the projects they're passionate about. So, you know, if you finish one, you can work on another. Or hackathons, you come in and you work on the project to code something other than what you're currently working on. So that sort of opportunity to really get the best out of you in an environment that is agile and constantly moving, and also keep the open door so that employees feel recognized and feel like they can come in. A number of employees said, we just can walk up to Zuck and say, here, I want you to see this code, and this is what I think we should go do, right? And that sort of open door policy and letting you be the best you can be in an area where you think you can contribute the most, I think sometimes it is definitely it sort of the reason why people stay at the company. And then, of course, everybody who creates something gets recognized. So if you started something or if you coded something, it's your name there.
That's wonderful. Well, Katrina, one big like for what we've been talking about today, that's for sure. we're going to take another quick break, but join us back in a few minutes on Rideau's Real Recognition Radio as we continue to speak with our guests today, Katrina Walter, and more about Think Like Zuck. For Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, I'm Roy Sonneson and Max Brown.
Find out out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
The next generation of employees is more sophisticated about recognition. They want to make a difference to their organizations, to their environment, and to their world. Rideau offers a full suite of recognition and reward solutions tailored to meet our clients' needs strategically, technologically, and globally. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
Social media is growing at an astounding rate. In just virtually 5 short years, we have seen YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter take the world by storm. How do you effectively make social media work for you? Tune in to The Social Universe with host Kurt Wilhelm. We'll show you how to market your business or yourself to get ahead, especially in unstable economic times. We'll also discuss practices that you can apply to increase visibility and revenue as you unlock the mysteries of the social universe. The Social Universe is broadcast live every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. I'm Roy Saunderson, along with my colleague and friend Max Brown, and our guest today, Ekaterina Walter, author of Think Like Zuck, The 5 Business Secrets of Facebook's Improbably Brilliant CEO, Mark Zuckerberg.
Ekaterina, I was enjoying the conversation you just had with Roy and talking about how the recognition plays a role in the culture of Facebook is that, you know, if you have a piece of code, your name goes on it. I mean, there's some ownership and some pride there. I think it's also fascinating. I read another piece from your book, actually. Another motto at Facebook, you said, was this journey is 1% finished. What does that mean, and how does it direct the culture and the work?
That you still have so much work to do. There's a lot of growth opportunities. There are a lot of integration opportunities. There are a lot of product excellence, you know, and innovation opportunities. And that's the motto that really that every single employee at Facebook understands. It's really interesting. If you talk to every single person at Facebook or just a regular person and stop them, they definitely know that motto. And you know, they have stickers that they give out. There's just those yellow nice stickers that says journey's only 1% finished, and sometimes you can see it on their laptops. The reality is that Zuckerberg wants to keep that sense of urgency and wants to operate in sort of a startup like environment no matter how big the company grows. And he's very, very careful about sort of, first of all, not losing the focus, and second of all, ensuring that employees know that they need to continue to move. So stay focused and keep shipping, right? When IPO was launching, that was the thing he was telling people, stay focused and keep shipping. And instead of celebrating, the employees got together and had an all-night hackathon, right, to see how they can continue to improve the product, right? That shows you the focus. And like I said, you know, their offices are not finished for that particular reason, is to give you sort of the, continue to give you a mental and physically the sort of a startup and permanent beta sort of environment and the feel. And that is definitely one of the things that I think continues to keep Facebook agile, right? They, every Tuesday, they're shipping out new code, right? It goes live. I mean, it's crazy. Who does that, right? Facebook does. So that sort of ensures continuous, you know, movement and innovation.
You know, we talked a moment ago in an earlier segment about how it's always in beta format. So, and yet here we are talking about, you know, even when they want to celebrate success, they're actually just working towards something new, knowing that they have to do more. And in the book, actually, you wrote this. You said, sometimes the enemy is not competition, but rather the comfort of repetition and complacency. Becoming too comfortable with current accomplishments tends to make it harder to innovate. And smart leaders avoid being blinded by the inertia of success.
Absolutely. It's, you know, the inertia of success is one thing that I think is so easy to just kind of fall into. Well, we're big, we're successful, money's flowing, you know, we're doing real well. You know, but what is the next big thing? And like I said, Zuckerberg is very much focused on long term, so he always has ideas of where he wants to take the company. But interestingly, I'll tell you, Max, interestingly, right, there's all these things that they could have been doing. I mean, they could have launched Graph Search years ago. And people keep, just kind of criticizing them for that, right? And I believe that's one of the things that kept Facebook successful is right? So focus. We have all these things to do. We have 10 things to do. Let's focus on those two. Perfect them. Do it well. Make sure users accept them. Get used to them. You know, we get the feedback. And then we go to the next thing, right? The reason why I think he's not focusing on phone and you know, becoming a gaming company and God knows what other things that, you know, people think that the direction they want to go in is because that he needs focus. He knows that graph search alone is going to take him years to get to a sophisticated state. He admitted that he's not anywhere near doing a mobile version of that, and Instagram isn't going to be integrated for a while, right? He really wants to do specific set of things well and then move forward because he's seen businesses get distracted, you know, buy out a number of other businesses, go in 50,000 directions, and
sure.
I think that's one of the things that he does well.
Well, it's an interesting point you bring up there because there's this constant need, and there's a balance, though, isn't there? I mean, I was working with a company not long ago where a gentleman was a big business development guy for their team, and he was always writing new proposals for new business. But when they would win the business, they wouldn't celebrate at all. And when I went back the next quarter to see how they were doing, that guy had actually left the company because he was tired. He, you know, the time before he had actually said, just no one takes time to celebrate. We're just always on the next thing. So there is a balance there, don't you think?
Yeah, and I actually think Facebook does pretty well at celebrating. Right now, I I'm not that sure, but, you know, when they were younger, I mean, they were college kids, right?
Right.
So there was this work hard but play hard environment, and I think Zuckerberg is careful to continue that. They have rooms on campus with the guitars there, right? And exercise rooms. There's actually an exercise machine that you could put your laptop on and just start walking, but then it's comfortable enough for you to actually do work if you decide to do it, or, you know, watch something on your computer. There's game rooms. Conference rooms have gaming consoles, and, you know, people pop in to say, hey, can I take a break and actually play a game? And if the conference room is available, they're like, okay, sure, great, let's go, right?
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely an environment of fun and celebration that is being built in that, and I think Zuckerberg realizes that is one of the critical things that it will keep employees motivated and happy. But, you know, I mean, even with Social Network, the movie coming out, I think Zuckerberg was hurt by the movie. But he looked at that and he said, you know what, the heck with it. He rented the bus, loaded up his employees to go see the movie and said, let's go have fun, let's go see the movie. What the heck? I mean, that to me shows character, right?
Sure. It's interesting, too, that a lot of things are tried, and some things fail. Some things just don't work, but that's the constant innovation. That's the constant hacker mentality, isn't it?
It is.
You just keep moving.
Yeah.
You don't get stymied by it. So you're not complacent with success, but you're also not complacent or stymied by the risk of failure either, right? So many people get trapped in, what if we fail, so they don't try anything either.
Right, absolutely. And I think, you know, when Facebook fails, they fail on the biggest scale because they're just on everybody's mind and they make a really nice target for media coverage, you know, but it doesn't matter. I think that never scared them as a culture, never scared Zuckerberg and Sandberg as leaders, right, is let us keep that. If we make a mistake, we make a mistake, we'll admit it, we'll move on, but we're never going to tell our employees, be darn careful, you know, but think 5,000 times before you launch something. They're like, no, launch it, test it with a small set of group people, watch the data. And that's one of the things too, Max, is I think that you believe that they're launching things on a whim. They're not. They are very data-oriented society. Mm-hmm. So, you know, back when Newsfeed launched and everybody was just angry about it and it was a new thing and people aren't used to it, and honestly, Zuckerberg hasn't handled privacy side of it very well, but he was looking at numbers and saying, oh my God, look at the usage of the site. People are using that feature. Heck, people are using to rally against the launch of Newsfeed because Newsfeed exists. I mean, it's really, you know, interesting sort of paradox. So no matter what they do, they always look at the data, you know, always look at how people are using it and making sure that they make their decisions smartly.
Yeah, it's a good point. It's a good point. Let's internalize this for a moment. Working at Intel, a place that, you know, talks about innovation and how important innovation is, what does it feel like on the inside of a very big organization that says innovation is really, really an important part of their business? How do you remain agile in a big organization? And for those listeners who might be in a big company and say, hey, I feel buried by bureaucracy, but Intel, how does innovation exist?
You know, I think it's in any company, especially the large one, you're going to find a little bit of, you know, of a sort of a process, right, that would slow you down, whether you,
sure.
you know, whether you call it a bureaucracy, whether you call it a due diligence, whether you call it process. There definitely is. But we've been lucky in that our management recognizes what are the areas and that we need to be agile in, and they allow us to go and take the risk. As a matter of fact, you know, in the book I use the quote of Deb Conrad, our chief marketing officer, who's amazing, and she says something to the effect of, you know, if you're not making somebody uncomfortable, you're not really innovating. You're really not pushing the envelope. You're not, you know, testing your limits. And so that sort of mentality, when your management has that mentality of go piss people off, go push the, you know, in the right way, right? Go push the limits. Mm. Go figure out, come back to us with ideas that might sound crazy, but maybe they're not so much, you know, and try the new things. It really gives you inspiration. It really gives you motivation, and you're giving you know all you've got and more to really bring to the table, you know, your best, and not only just your best, you know, approach, but your best ideas.
Yeah. Well, you make some good points. We have about, I don't know, 45 seconds left before we have to take a break, but I thought that this really struck me in the book. You talked about success being a team sport. And you talk about the relationship between Mark and Sheryl Sandberg, and you wrote, the key to success of this relationship is the fact that Sandberg truly wants Zuck to succeed. Something that I think most leaders need to actually think about more here. How do you help the people around you succeed, first off? And that she is willing to take second place to him whenever necessary to support him in his mission. You even mentioned that a lot of companies now, and recruiters, are specifically looking to keep the founder in place, but find someone like a Sheryl Sandberg to support and run operations to keep the visions alive, but also to support that individual. I thought that was just really interesting.
Yeah, and I think that's how it should be in a partnership if you want it to be truly successful.
Yeah. Boy, it was really, really fun. I really liked how you pointed this out. And what we can learn from this. Folks, you're listening to Yekaterina Walter, a wonderful, wonderful book that you wrote about Zuck. And for Rideau's Real Recognition Radio, this is Max Brown and Roy Saunderson reminding you to keep it real. We'll be right back.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Find out about new shows, featured guests, and what's up this week. Find us on Facebook by searching keyword Voice America.
Relationships are the core of great businesses. Your employees are critical to the success of your business. Rideau helps you build positive relationships with your people. Rideau helps you inspire greatness in your people. We do it through the power of recognition and rewards. Rideau's clients are Intel, RBC Financial, Boeing, and Liberty Mutual. We're committed to our clients and our people. Together, Rideau and our clients create better workplaces, better businesses, and ultimately, a better world. Become a Rideau client. Find us at rideau.com. Rideau is the proud sponsor of Real Recognition Radio.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're listening to Real Recognition Radio with Roy Saunderson and S. Max Brown. This is what recognition is all about, getting real results in the workplace through meaningful recognition solutions. Now, let's get back to the program. Here are Roy and Max.
Welcome back to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. We're going to finish off our wonderful conversation today with Ekaterina Walter, our guest, and learn some final pointers on Think Like Zuck. And wow, this has been a fast-paced show, and what a wonderful set of insights we've gained on Mark and Zuckerberg from Facebook, and your thoughts as well, Ekaterina. And you know, you share this great Latin quote being translated as "Who dares wins," and you know, many leaders are sometimes criticized for kind of, you know, going ahead with their vision and how they see the future coming ahead and creating products that sometimes may be a little ahead of their time. How do you stay on track? How do you stay focused when so many are trying to get you off track?
Well, Roy, I think it's that that belief in your purpose and that and the knowledge, very solid knowledge of where you want to go. You know, it's like Zuckerberg. We talked about Zuckerberg being criticized by that he's antisocial. I actually think he's not an antisocial guy. He loves being with his friends. But Ellen McGirt from Fast Company, he said he's not arrogant. He's just profoundly certain. And we're not comfortable with that profoundly certain sort of you know, definition or approach, if you will. And sometimes we're not comfortable with the fact that leader says, listen, I don't care about limelight. I care about creating and building something of value. You know, and so it leaves us kind of, you know, it's a human nature. It leaves us kind of guessing and trying to figure out, you know, what does that really mean? And of course we call, you know, the leaders crazy, unreliable, you know, I don't know. Jeff Bezos was called the dangerous investment before, right? We call Zuckerberg baby-faced CEO who has no experience. But, you know, if you're able to build something amazing as such, you know, it's really, it's I think the work and the company you build speaks for itself, but I also think it's passion. Again, that fluffy word that I think we sometimes underestimate. I mean, Steve Jobs invested in Pixar for 9 years. He's been losing money.
Right.
9 years before it became profitable. Why? Because it's very simple. He believed in the future of animation. He thought it's one of the best things that we can bring to the world. He blindly, truly, and, you know, probably the world isn't probably blindly, but he had a gut feeling that this is something that the world will accept and it's going to help make the world better. And so, you know, I think sometimes it's not on P&L, you know, Roy. Sometimes it's not in oh my golly, what is, you know, let's map out the strategy. Sometimes it's, you know, does the leader have the courage to stand up and stand, you know, for something? Does the leader have courage to listen to his or her gut, right? That's some of the things that we sometimes ignore.
And I think you're right. You kind of, that the whole concept of courage and having foresight and sticking with it are very powerful attributes.
Right.
So, yeah. So what do you think lies ahead for the next generation of workers? You've seen from Facebook, you're in Intel now. What do you think?
You know, I think millennials right now, and especially Generation Z, that's this, you know, coming of age, I think they're a different generation, right? They're digital natives. They grew up on technology. They grew up in an era where the information flows freely and you can access everything. They grew up in an era of global village, where the world is really, truly small, where they feel comfortable connecting with other cultures and other people with different perspectives and experiences and age. And they're really bold. I mean, this is a really bold generation. You know, some of the things that they're demanding is continued access to information, you know, keeping them. One of the things that I think, based on the numbers of research I've seen, is how do you keep them interested and involved and engaged and motivated, right? Because it used to be that people stay with the companies, you know, for 10, 20 years. Now, the young generation, if you look at some data out there, they hop every 2.5, 3 years. Mm-hmm. They change brands, jobs. A number of them want to be called self-employed and identify themselves as a CEO of their lives and their, you know, their own businesses. This is a truly entrepreneurial generation who thinks outside the box, who is not afraid to go act on their dreams and their passions, and definitely a great generation to have on board in your company, but you need to give them opportunity to speak up. You cannot stifle them. You have to match them with their passions and give them opportunity to truly innovate, to take full advantage of their creativity and their courage and boldness, right?
Yes, right. Well, you've given some great insights to us. And I think for our listeners who may want to learn more about your book, Think Like Zuck, and learn about your speaking and all that you do, where could they reach out to connect with you?
Definitely my website, Roy, yekaterinawalter.com. They can connect with me there. I'm very active on Twitter, @yekaterina, just my first name. And definitely can find me on other networks and LinkedIn, et cetera. But I think those are the two that I would start with.
Wonderful. And finally, you know, you've written the book. It's been out there. You've been speaking on the topic. What a big learning point that you've gained after writing the book.
I think what I understood is I'm not the only one out there who thinks every single one of us is an entrepreneur, right? I always believed that. I just wasn't sure how wildly spread that belief is. And based on the feedback I'm getting from people and how they react to the content, they say, you know, that helped wake up my entrepreneur. You know, we do have dreams. We have to start with passion. I think sometimes we are brought up thinking that we are not entrepreneurial at all and we have a specific path, and we don't. We're the ones who define our path, right? And I close the book with a quote from Henry Ford, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're absolutely right.
Right. Katrina, it has been a delight to have you on the show today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Roy and Max. Pleasure.
Absolutely. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Well, for our wonderful listeners, tune in for our next show, where Max and I will be continuing our discussion on building relationships, inspiring greatness, and creating workplaces where people can thrive. We certainly welcome and encourage you to send in your comments and suggestions. Go to rideau.com/radio. That's rideau.com/radio. And speak directly with myself and Max and give us your feedback. Just click on the prompt and tell us why you listen to Rideau's Real Recognition Radio. And you can also check out our past shows at Rideau's Real Recognition Radio Library. Thanks for listening to Rideau Real Recognition Radio. For more information about the Rideau's Recognition Management Institute, you can also visit us at rideau.com. Until next time, I'm Roy Sonneson, along with Max Brown, reminding you to keep it real.
Thank you again for tuning in Real Recognition Radio. Please join Roy Sonderson and Max Brown again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel for more motivational tips to help your employees perform better. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.